You are in the Workus, a storytelling project about workplace injuries and occupational illness. My name is Daryl Rochelle. In 2007, 154 people were killed on the job in Alberta, and many more were seriously injured. In just a moment, a story about a worker who was injured on the job. But first, if you or someone you know has been hurt at work, come and talk to me right after you've listened to this story. I want to record your story and include it in the Workus. Most workplace accidents involve some sort of physical injury, but not for John. John has post-traumatic stress disorder after the train he was working on killed an automobile driver at a level crossing. I asked John to tell me his story.
In 2002, January 29th, was involved in a fatal crossing collision at Manville, Alberta. Out of that collision, I ended up with a full-blown case of post-traumatic stress. I was off work for approximately 6 months, returned, couldn't do the job that I was doing. Went to the yard service, which was almost a new career for me, and slowly the cycle repeated itself, and it just kind of ground me down over the years to the point where I just couldn't continue to work for the railway anymore, and I no longer do. I still don't know why it affected me the way it did, but it was just, I'll never get back on one of their engines again. They can't force me back on one. I'd quit before that happened. It just is not going to happen.
Describe the accident.
It was just an old fella that was driving down a country road, and he came up to a crossing and didn't stop, and we hit him broadside with the engine at close to 40 miles an hour and dragged him down the track about a quarter mile. And then you're basically left there on your own to do what you can until emergency services arrive. Very often there's little to nothing you can do. In this case, it was fairly obvious that he was dead. Mm-hmm. But you've still got in the back of your mind that maybe. And then you just wait for the police and ambulance to arrive. It seems like forever, but eventually they do show up. It's probably a matter of minutes, although it seems like hours.
Yeah. What goes through your mind after an accident like that?
Why? Question yourself to death. What could I have done to prevent it? Was I doing anything wrong? What if? Probably like most accidents, you just second guess yourself. What didn't I do that would have prevented this? And in this case, it was nothing. But you still get that in the back of your mind, and the waste, the loss. It's something that gets into you and just chews at you, and you can't get it out of your head. Even to this day, and this is 6 years ago now, 6.5 years ago, I'm still seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist on a fairly regular basis. And I mean, things are coming around, but I drive around the railway yards. I do everything I can to avoid them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to be near them. I don't like the sound of trains. They're just something I don't want to be near.
Is post-traumatic stress syndrome common amongst train conductors who have been involved in fatal accidents with automobiles and trucks?
I believe it is. I believe it's a lot more common than what anybody's admitting. It's kind of one of those secret diseases like alcoholism in the workplace. We see it, but we don't talk about it. It's under the table. There's a big I believe what they call John Wayne syndrome. I'm okay, I can walk away from this. The railway culture itself, you know, I'm tough, I can handle this. If I don't get back in the saddle, I'm a wimp. And there's really very, very little, almost nothing in the way of support out there. My wife and I both tried to search out things. Unless you're in the Army, which I'm not ready to join, there is no such thing as post-traumatic stress support groups. There's nothing.
For people who work, regular jobs like you.
In industry, yeah. I mean, there's absolutely nothing unless you're in the armed forces.
Why is that, do you think?
I have no idea, although if I was to speculate, I would say it's because we don't want to admit that it exists. If you admit it exists, even you're obligated to do something about it. Even as I went through the process of obtaining a settlement through the insurance company, the fight that's still going on with the WCB, all these years later, it's just no. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. This doesn't exist. You're okay. Go away. Quite honestly, to tell you the truth, I think I'd rather have cancer. At least you can see the black spot. At least you can do something to combat it. This, you can't see anything. It's just, it's in your head, and you can't take an X-ray and go, oh, there it is. Now we can fix it.
It's very different from what most people imagine a workplace illness to be, isn't it?
It's the illness you can't see. You can look at a broken bone and say in 6 weeks it should be healed. This is lifelong. It never goes away. Yeah. We sat in front of an Alberta provincial court judge who seemed to have the idea that suddenly he was going to say, well, you know what, write a check for this munch and all is well. Biggest mistake the guy ever made, as far as I'm concerned, all is not well.
Why was it the biggest mistake he made?
Well, because he didn't seem to understand that this doesn't stop. I'd asked the insurance girl straight out, because she had a great plan that I could go driving as a hotshot driver. Well, we laughed at that. And I said, well, what happens if your great plan failed? And she just kind of sat there with a stupid look on her face and said, well, there is no plan. So, you know, just go away. You don't exist. Get out of here. Thanks for coming. We're done with you. Have a nice life.
Yeah. Are you able to work now?
I work at a botanic garden. And it's partially therapy. It's partially because I can't go back to the railway until my psychiatrist says I can. Yeah, I can work. I do work.
Yeah. What do you do at the Botanic Gardens?
I'm on the maintenance crew, mm-hmm. And we do everything from planting flowers to cutting down trees, mm-hmm. And it's very relaxing, and I find it enjoyable. I don't have to put any thought into who's going to get killed next, or you know when the next accident's going to be. It's just kind of in our own little world out there. And it's actually been a real salvation. It's one quarter of what I used to make, but I believe that's part of the thing too. Is a person's economically trapped into their job sometimes, and they can't afford to walk away from it simply because they're suffering greatly psychologically because of type stress like that. In my case, I could. We do have a railway line, a very limited use railway line, fairly close to us. The railway line is close to our house. And every time I hear that train whistle blow when it goes by, I just say to myself, thank God that I'm not out there with those people, that I don't have to sit in that engine anymore and wait for the next accident to happen.
John, it's been good talking to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
John was a freight train conductor. He now works at the Devonian Botanic Garden. Do you have a workplace injury or occupational illness story? Or maybe you have a story about someone you know who was injured at work. Raise awareness about workplace injuries by telling your story for the workers. Come and see me right now to record your story. I'll show you how it's done. My name is Daryl Rochelle, and I want to help you share your story in the workers. Thanks for listening. The Workus is a storytelling project from the Alberta Workers Health Centre.
I took most of the weight. I went to lift him into there and I felt something pop out of my back.
Out of that collision, I ended up with a full-blown case of post-traumatic stress. I was off work for approximately 6 months, returned.
She was there and backed up and essentially pinned her in between two vehicles. And obviously she was killed instantly. It was a very, obviously very tragic event.